From WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Terry Gross with Fresh Air. After I heard Rebecca Kilgore's CD, I Saw Stars, I vowed to have her on the show in concert. Today's the day. On today's Fresh Air, Rebecca Kilgore sings jazz and pop from the 30s, 40s, and 50s, accompanied by pianist Dave Frischberg. They perform together regularly in Portland, Oregon, where they each live. Tomorrow on Fresh Air, Frischberg will perform a solo concert featuring his own songs. Rebecca Kilgore in concert, coming up on Fresh Air. First, the news.
Investigators in Colombia are making another sweep through the wreckage of the American Airlines jet that crashed in the Andes last week, killing 160 people. All but one body has now been recovered. Mary Matheson reports.
Although the official investigation looking into the causes of the crash will take several months to complete, preliminary evidence points to human error. The pilot of the American Airlines plane, carrying 164 people on board, gave no call for help before the aircraft flew into the side of a mountain. The plane was also 13 miles off course, indicating either pilot or control tower error. Colombian government officials have ruled out sabotage, and they said a mechanical fault in the plane looks unlikely. For National Public Radio, this is Mary Matheson in Bogota.
Shoppers who found good bargains before Christmas are going back for more today as stores try to clear out leftover holiday merchandise. Many shopping malls opened early in anticipation of a wave of after-Christmas shopping. But this woman at a department store in the nation's capital was not impressed by the prices she found.
I'm seeing a lot of bargains, but not anything extraordinary, to tell you the truth. I was out shopping last week before Christmas, and many of the prices today are the exact same as you could have gotten right before Christmas Day, which I think is more unusual this holiday than any other time. And also, I found that stores were reducing right up to the last minute. So if you were a last-minute shopper, you still got to win.
Retailers are hoping for a week of strong sales to help boost what analysts say has been an anemic holiday shopping season. A judge in Pittsburgh is hearing testimony today on whether three white police officers should stand trial in the death of a black motorist this fall. From Pittsburgh, Kevin Gavin has more.
31-year-old Johnny Gamage, a cousin of Pittsburgh's dealer Ray Seals, was pulled over early October 12th for a routine traffic stop. The police officer called for backup, and according to police, Gamage became combative. Four other officers arrived on the scene. Details of what exactly happened are still unclear, but within 7 minutes, Gamage was dead from compression to the neck and chest. The district attorney filed murder charges against two of the officers and involuntary manslaughter charges against a third. The two other officers on the scene have not been charged and are considered to be the key prosecution witnesses. The hearing could take as long as 3 days. For National Public Radio, I'm Kevin Gavin in Pittsburgh.
At least 130 bodies have been recovered in South Africa following devastating floods that hit an area about 240 miles southeast of Johannesburg. Police in the area say many of the victims had been living in shacks that were washed away by the floodwaters. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up nearly 17 points at 5,115 in very light trading of 173 million shares. In the over-the-counter market, the Nasdaq Composite is up 1 point. This is NPR News. The Russian government may have to import large amounts of wheat to head off a possible bread shortage next year. The Interfax news agency in Moscow says Russia may need up to 6 million metric tons of wheat by summer. The cost of such a sizable purchase could be about $1.2 billion. And Russia may face competition on the world market from the other former Soviet republics in buying wheat from Ukraine and other wheat suppliers. Hundreds of Palestinian police were deployed into villages around the West Bank town of Hebron today. Hebron is the only place where Jewish settlers and Palestinian police live together. Linda Gradstein has more from Jerusalem.
After the Israeli troops left in about 20 jeeps, the Palestinian police drove in triumph, waving Kalashnikov rifles, Palestinian flags, and pictures of PLO leader Yasser Arafat. According to the Israel-PLO agreement, the Palestinian police will be responsible for law and order in the five villages with a total population of about 100,000 people. Israeli troops and Palestinian police will jointly patrol the roads leading to the villages. Hebron is the most complicated area for the Israeli withdrawal because of the 450 Jewish settlers in the city, and Israeli troops are not scheduled to leave Hebron until March. In the past 6 weeks, Israel's pulled out of 5 Palestinian cities, most recently Bethlehem, and the PLO is to take control of Ramallah later this week. For National Public Radio, I'm Linda Gradstein in Jerusalem.
The State Department has congratulated Turkey for holding free and fair elections, but no comment was made about the newly formed coalition that's aimed at keeping the Islamic Fundamentalist Party that narrowly won the voting from forming a government. The anti-Western Islamic Welfare Party garnered just over 21% of the vote, but it does not have enough political strength to govern alone. Turkey's secular parties are trying to join forces to keep the Islamic Fundamentalist Party from coming to power. I'm Craig Windham, National Public Radio News in Washington.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. One of my greatest pleasures hosting Fresh Air is showcasing the work of people who are exceptionally talented, but not well known, at least not yet. That's what makes today a special day for me. I get to present a concert with Rebecca Kilgore. She sings jazz tunes and the music that's become known as American popular song. She has a CD called I Saw Stars, but it's on a small label called Arbor's Jazz. Rebecca Kilgore is best known in Portland, Oregon, where she performs regularly at the Heathman Hotel, accompanied by the wonderful pianist and songwriter Dave Frischberg, who also lives in Portland. Frischberg is accompanying her today on our concert. Tomorrow we'll devote the show to Frischberg performing his own songs. Seems like the perfect way to end the year. Well, let's get started with a song from 1933 by Harold Arlen and Ted Kohler.
I got my trousers pressed, shoes shined, I had my coat and vest relined. Take a look at my lapel, see the flower, can't you tell? I'm happy as the day is long. Haven't got a dime to lend, I got a lot of time to spend. Just a pocket full of air, feeling like a millionaire. I'm happy as the day is long. Got a heavy affair, and I'm having my fun. Am I walking on air? Gee, but I'm the lucky one. Got my peace of mind, knock wood. I hear that love is blind, that's good. Cause the things I never see never seem to worry me. I'm happy as the day is long. I'm happy, happy, happy as the day is long. I'm happy, so happy, happy as the day is long. Got a heavy affair and I'm having my fun. Am I walking on air? Gee, but I'm the lucky one. Got my peace of mind, knock wood. I hear that love is blind, that's good. Cause the things I never see never seem to worry me. I'm happy as the day is long. I'm happy as the day is long.
Wonderful. And that's Rebecca Kilgore singing with Dave Frischberg at the piano. Becky, welcome to Fresh Air. This has been an ambition of mine for a long time to have you sing on the show.
Well,
and I'm delighted
you.
That we're actually doing it. It's remarkable to me that you can sing as wonderfully as you do, and yet having you started so late professionally to actually sing in front of people.
That's right. But I was a closet singer before that, so I had lots of practice in my own living room.
You gave up your day job, what, just a couple of years ago?
That's correct. Actually, 2.5. Yeah.
What was the turning point to give it up?
I was working full time, and it was getting to be too much with all the gigs I had at night, and it was clear that I had to make a decision. And I had the support of my boss and my colleagues, and they said, yes, do it. So I quit my secretarial job.
Well, equally remarkable to me is that you didn't even sing in front of people until, what, you were 30, 31?
That's right.
What was the turning point there to actually get you to start performing?
I joined a band.
You went from not singing to joining a band.
Yeah, it was just a funny turn of events that I happened to join a band, and there was no turning back. I was hooked.
So you were a closet singer for many years, singing at home?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was accompanying myself on guitar. I love to find old songs and just learn them for my own benefit. I really didn't have any goals or aspirations to be a professional. It just happened.
Let's do another song. Let's do it as if I'd be singing too, right?
Well, feel free to sing along.
Yeah,
you said you did know this one, right? All My Life?
Oh, it's a wonderful song, yeah. Say something about the song before you sing it.
Well, I'm trying to remember where I first heard it. I think it was Ella Fitzgerald. It's from 1936, and it's just a very poignant, sweet song.
for you, my wonderful one. I've begun living all my life, all my love has been waiting for you. My life is sublime now that I am giving all my love. You seem so lovely, so far above me, I'm almost afraid to look. But I adore you, I place before you a heart that's an open book. All my life, hold me close to your heart, but all else above, hold my love, darling, all my life. You seem so lovely, so far above me, I'm almost afraid to look. But I adore you, I place before you a heart that's an open book. All my life, hold me close to your heart, but all else above, hold my love, darling, all my life, with all of my love.
Beautiful. That's Rebecca Kilgore singing, Dave Frischberg at the piano. And they've recorded together, their latest album together is called I Saw Stars. And they also performed together in Portland at the Heathman Hotel Wednesday and Thursday nights. Rebecca, has this always been your music, jazz and pop standards from the 30s and 40s?
It seems to have been. I recall being out of step with my peers all my life, and this music just captivates me, and I've always somehow gravitated to it. I don't know why.
Now, how did you find it? I know when I was growing up, I was listening to rock and roll, but my parents listened to a station in New York called WNEW that used to play everything from Perry Como to Frank Sinatra, the good stuff and the not the not so good. But I was exposed to some songs through that. How were you exposed to songs from another era?
You know, that's a really good question, and I don't know the answer. I just at some point discovered Billie Holiday and Ella Fitzgerald, and they were it for me. They were my mentors, and I really can't remember how. Probably I just discovered an old used record in a used record store, and it was that kind of music from then on. I think it was when I was in high school.
What was your parents' music when you were young?
Well, my dad was a classical composer and the choir director at our church, and he wrote some serious choral music, beautiful music. And that's about all I remember. I remember my dad composing classical music at home.
Did you sing in the church choir?
Yes, I did.
Did you like that music?
Very much. I love part singing. I'm an alto, and that's a lot of fun.
No, I love your timing of beautiful jazz phrasing.
Oh, thanks.
Did that just come naturally to you? Did you work at that?
I guess it came naturally. If I worked at it, it hasn't been anything conscious. I don't work at how I'm going to sing a particular song or imitate anyone. I just listen really intently to the singers I love, and it just happens to come out, I guess.
On your album, I Saw Stars, you do a lot of songs that I love, and I love the way you do the song. So I'm going to request a song from that CD. And this is No Love, No Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me why you like this song.
Well, it's just another one of those romantic songs, and it took place during World War II, and the women were saying goodbye to their men as they went across the shores. And so this is a poignant love song about love lost. No.
no love, no nothing, until my baby comes home. No, sir, no nothing, as long as baby must roam. I promised him I'd wait for him till even Hades froze. I'm lonesome, heaven knows, but what I said still goes. No love, no nothing, and that's a promise I'll keep. No fun with no one, I'm getting plenty of sleep. My heart's striking, though it's like an empty honeycomb. No love, no sir, no nothing till my baby comes home. A promise I'll keep. No fun with no one, I'm getting plenty of sleep. My heart's on strike, and though it's like an empty honeycomb. No love, no sir, no nothing till my baby comes home. No love, no sir, no nothing till my baby comes home.
We're featuring a concert with Rebecca Kilgore and pianist Dave Frischberg. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back to our concert with singer Rebecca Kilgore and pianist Dave Frischberg.
Becky, I still can't help but wonder, what was your song fantasy life like during those years when you were a closet singer up until the age of 30 when you didn't perform at all?
Really, I didn't have any fantasy. I just, I guess I would listen to my records and imagine what that was like. But and so I really didn't have any aspirations. When I did see the band that I ended up being a part of, there was a woman who was playing guitar and singing, which was what I ended up doing. And when I saw her doing that, it did spark off something in me, and because I had never seen anyone contemporary singing that music. So I guess it was a very latent, unacknowledged fantasy, if it was at all.
But you didn't imagine yourself a singer? There wasn't a particular singer you wanted to be?
Well, I think Ella Fitzgerald in always is the most perfect singer in my mind. So I guess I would sing along with her in the car at the top of my lungs and pretend I was Ella Fitzgerald, which is quite a stretch. But
so when you joined this band, what was the band called? What was their repertoire like?
It was called Holy Cats, spelled W-H-O-L-L-Y, Cats, which was a Charlie Christian song, I believe. And it was a small group, saxophone, trumpet, bass, and guitar and vocals. And it was all the swing-era music of the 30s and 40s, which I just plugged right into. It was perfect.
Was it the kind of band where they dressed in costume to give a sense of the period?
Actually, we did, yes. I did a lot of vintage clothing shopping at that period in my life.
How'd you feel about that?
Now it doesn't interest me anymore, but at the time it was very fun. And we did it in a classy way. We didn't do it in a spoofing way at all. We were kind of living this fantasy life of as if we were actually musicians in the 40s, so it was fun.
And I want you to do another song, which you've also recorded, and it's Namely You, which is from the show Lil Abner,
mm-hmm.
which I guess I'm one of the many people who was in, you know, a high school or summer camp production of that in back in the chorus someplace. Now, how do you know this song? Do you like the musical? And to ask you yet another question in here, do you look to Broadway a lot for songs?
Oh, sure, yeah. Well, not contemporary Broadway, but older Broadway.
A lot of cast recordings in your collection?
You bet, yeah. And now, and that reminds me that when I was a child, I did listen to those recordings. Yeah, so there's part of the answer where I heard this music.
But were you in the high school productions or summer camp productions?
No.
Why?
I'm extremely shy. I should be a librarian or a computer nerd. I was a computer programmer for a long time, so that kind of suits my disposition a lot better. I'm a very reluctant performer.
Let me let you sing Namely You. This is Johnny Mercer?
Johnny Mercer and Jean DePaul, 1956.
You deserve a gal who's willing, namely me, one who'd love to have your children, namely me. Standing there in the doorway, waiting at the close of day, with you all the way to love, honor, and obey. You deserve two arms to hold you, namely mine, there to comfort and enfold you, rain or shine. I deserve someone strong and handsome, bashful and shy and true, and I know just the one who'll do, namely you. Standing there in the doorway, waiting at the close of day, with you all the way to love, honor, and obey. You deserve two arms to hold you, namely mine, there to comfort and enfold you, rain or shine. I deserve someone strong and handsome, bashful and shy and true, and I know just the one who'll do, namely you.
Becky Kilgore singing, Dave Frischberg at the piano, and they perform together often in Portland, Oregon. They've recorded together as well. And Dave Frischberg, as you may know, is also a songwriter and singer and has several records of his own and has written a lot of songs a lot of people have recorded over the years. And Becky's recorded a couple of them, too. Becky, the song you just sang, Namely You, I love the melody. I really love the song. And yet, when...
you have trouble with the lyrics.
Just when you get to lines like, with you all the way to love, honor, and obey. When you love songs from the 30s and 40s and 50s, you inevitably run into some lyrics that are really sexist. And you have to kind of come to terms with that and figure out a way to deal with it, whether you're just going to overlook it or banish those songs from the list of the songs you love. How do you deal with it?
Well, I think I've come up with a policy, which is in a song like that, it comes from a romantic standpoint, and we just have to realize that things were different at that time. And it's still a beautiful sentiment, But where I do draw the line is if someone is victimized and, or, you know, beaten or something, I wouldn't sing a song like that. So that's not a whining kind of a song. So it's okay with me.
Do you have a good musical memory? When you're trying to learn a song, do you get it first time or?
No, I wish I did. And that's, I wish I could just learn a song immediately, but I have to painstakingly play the melody on my guitar and sing along with it and read the notes and then read the lyrics and listen to it so I absorb it both with sight, sound, and playing it physically on the guitar. It's a tedious procedure.
What's the hard part about learning a song?
Well, it depends on the song. If there's a complicated melody, then that can really throw me sometimes. Or if there are a lot of weird lyrics, then it's hard to memorize them.
Say you're learning a melody that has like a difficult interval. What's your idea of a difficult melody to learn?
Lush Life comes to mind, but although I've never sung it, and I don't even have any aspirations of singing it. But
Ballerina.
Oh boy, that took me a long time to learn. Dance, ballerina, dance. And do your pirouette in rhythm with your aching heart. Dance, ballerina, dance. You mustn't once forget a dancer has to dance the part. See what I mean?
What makes that tricky? Because there's a lot of odd intervals and quick notes. And what's an accidental?
It's not in the scale.
It's not in the scale, yeah. But I think this part. Those non-chord tones land on those big, heavy, accented beats, and you better hit them.
Yeah, otherwise you get them right.
Otherwise, you just sound awful.
Singer Rebecca Kilgore and pianist Dave Frischberg. They live in Portland, Oregon, where they perform together regularly at the Heathman Hotel. Rebecca Kilgore's CD, I Saw Stars, features Frischberg on piano. It's on the Arbors Jazz label. Our concert will continue in the second half of our show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.
Major funding for Fresh Air is provided by Borders, where the love of books and music sets the standard. Additional support comes from the listeners of WHYY in Philadelphia, where Fresh Air is produced. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
Coming up, we continue our in-studio concert with singer Rebecca Kilgore and pianist Dave Frischberg. That's him at the piano now. Tomorrow on Fresh Air, Frischberg performs a solo concert of his own songs. Thank you. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with the second half of our concert with singer Rebecca Kilgore, accompanied by pianist Dave Frischberg. We'll feature a solo concert of Frischberg performing his own songs tomorrow. Kilgore and Frischberg live in Portland, Oregon, where they perform together regularly at the Heathman Hotel. They've also recorded together on the CD I Saw Stars on the Arbors Jazz label. Well, I'm going to ask you to do another tune. This is another song that I really love, and I know the song through Ivy Anderson. It's called A Lonely Coed. And I'll be honest, I have my Columbia double album of her singing. This is on it, and much as I love Ivy Anderson's singing, this was not one of her records that really stood out to me. Then I heard your recording of it, and I thought, what a great song.
It is a great song. It's hard to believe that Duke Ellington wrote it. It's a corny sentiment. But I like it. It's about another shy person.
Is that why you sing it?
I guess I gravitate toward it for that reason. Why not?
I just can't seem to get that campus bloom. When I come in, the boys all leave the room. I just don't seem to attract. I'm just a lonely co-ed. I wear my clothes like all the other girls. I wear my hair in all the latest curls. They just don't seem to react. I'm just a lonely co-ed. Well, maybe I don't know enough of the tricks. Maybe I lack technique. Maybe there's something that I could fix. Maybe my line is weak. I'm just a lonely, lonely co-ed.
I'm so glad you did that.
Thank
you. It's Becky Kilgore with Dave Frischberg at the piano. Dave, I'm going to ask you to pull your vocal mic over because I've got a question for you. And our listeners might have heard Dave Frischberg on the show several times over the years on Fresh Air. And I'm interested in how you started performing together, which you do every week now in Portland. I don't know which of you to ask first.
Dave got the gig and hired me.
Oh, but yeah, but,
oh, but
I knew Becky when I used to come to Portland. I came to Portland as a... like to do my act, you know, at a place called Father's. And Becky was playing with this band, Holy Cats.
This is when you first moved to
Portland? Yeah, no, before I moved to Portland, I was still in California. This was about 81, I think, when I first met you, wasn't it? Well, 82, something
82,
like that, you know. So we've known each other quite a long time. I was knocked out with her then. She was the guitar player with the band, you know, but she was singing. She sounded great.
And so you asked her to sing with you? I mean, how did you start performing?
Well, later on, when I moved to Portland, I was offered this job at the Heathman, and they said they wanted a singer, and I thought of Becky. That's pretty simple.
And that was 3.5 years ago.
Yeah, starting our fourth year.
And Becky, did it change your singing at all to have Dave playing? I mean, I think he's just fantastic pianist.
Yes.
And I wonder if you think that affected you.
It's been the gig of my life. It's been the greatest gig for a few reasons. One is that it's a great venue and I can hear myself. When you're singing with a large group, you can't often hear yourself. So that's been great. And I have the most sympathetic accompanist I could imagine with Dave. It's just wonderful to have him as an accompanist. And the other reason is that I get to bring in new songs every week and just put them in front of him and he plays them. So I get to increase my repertoire by leaps and bounds.
And your taste in songs is pretty similar.
It seems to be, yeah. Becky's a good arranger and a good guitar player, and she knows how to write a good lead sheet, and it's increased my repertoire. It's enriched my repertoire quite a bit, too.
We're featuring a concert with singer Rebecca Kilgore and pianist Dave Frischberg. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. To our concert with singer Rebecca Kilgore and pianist Dave Frischberg. Now, when you're performing at the hotel, what kind of song goes over the best?
Oh, it varies. There are some kind of semi-comedic songs that I do. One is called Arthur Murray Taught Me Dancing in a Hurry, and another one is this song called Murder, He Says, which talks about the hip jargon of the 40s.
Actually, why don't I ask you to do that? This is a song that Anita O'Day recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else recorded?
Betty Hutton recorded it before her. But it was Anita O'Day's recording that inspired me to sing it.
Why don't you do it for us?
Okay. Finally found a fella. He's almost completely divine. But his vocabulary is killing this romance of mine. We get into an intimate situation, and then begins this Romeo's conversation. He says, murder, he says. Every time we kiss, he says, murder, he says. At a time like this, he says, murder, he says. Is that the language of love? He says, solid, he says. Meaning all my charms, he says, solid, he says. He takes me in his arms, he says, solid, he says. Is that the language of love? He says, chick, chick, you torture me, zoot, are we living? I'm thinking of leaving him flat. He said, dig, dig, the jump, the old ticker is given. Now he can talk plainer than that. He says, murder, he says. Every time we kiss, he says, murder, he says. Keep it up like this and that, murder, he says. In that impossible tone, we'll bring on nobody's murder but his own. With helium, now babe, we're cooking, and other expressions to wit. He says, we're in the groove, and the groove is good looking. He sounds like his uppers don't fit. He says, murder, he says. Every time we kiss, he says, murder, he says. Keep it up like this and that, murder, he says. In that impossible tone, we'll bring on nobody's murder. Nobody's murder. Nobody's murder but his own. Murder, he says.
Becky Kilgore and Dave Frischberg. Becky, that's a really fun song. Do you like singing songs with archaic hipster lyrics?
well, I don't have a whole repertoire of them or a medley of them, but that certainly
the
falls.
The archaic hipster
I
medley.
Think, yeah, that was a pretty hip time, or they were self-consciously hip, and I think that's cute.
Actually, you have another archaic hipster tune that you do. Maybe I can get you to do just a chorus of this, of Robin Hood.
Oh, by Louis Prima, sure.
Louis Prima seems to be making this big comeback.
Is he?
Yeah, there was a song of his, at least one song of his, in Casino and in the movie Smoke, and I think also Blue in the Face, Louis Prima.
I haven't seen those, but that's great. I love him. And Keeley Smith, too.
Many long years ago, a fellow named Robin Hood, he used to rob the rich most any chance he could. Now you shouldn't get me wrong, because he was no square. With his trusty bow and arrow, he could part your hair. His buddy was Little John, another was Allendale, 140 more, together they'd hit the trail. They would scamper through the forest to the Blue Boar Inn. Mr. Eden told them where they should begin. He took from the rich man, he gave it to the poor man. He had a fear of no man, only for his chick, whose name was Marianne. Now here's the switcheroo, a Robin Hood's loyal crew. King Richard forgave them all, and here's what he had to do. They became his royal rangers and were very good. So that ends our little tale of Robin Hood. Why, that ends our little tale of Robin Hood.
Do you have any idea what the occasion for that song was?
No, I have the sheet music, and it doesn't talk much about it, no.
So that's one of the songs you found through sheet music?
Yeah, that's very curious.
I'd never heard
it
before. Had you ever actually heard it sung?
Yes, I'd heard it sung by Mildred Bailey, and then later I found it sung by Louis Prima. I don't know why he wrote it.
That's great. How did you start singing it?
It was that Mildred Bailey recording that inspired me.
Becky, when you started singing, when you started performing after not having performed for so long because you were too shy to sing, and you started getting feedback both from the people you were playing with and from the people who were listening to you, did it change your singing at all? Did you start to hear things in your own voice that you didn't hear before? Good and bad, positive and critical?
You know, when I started performing, I don't remember the feedback. I just remember that I had a lot of work to do to be a member of that band, and I was just working really hard. And I guess I must have gotten some positive feedback, or I wouldn't have kept on doing it. But I can't think of anything specific that I changed.
And you never decided, well, now I think I'll take singing lessons.
Oh, God, no.
Why, oh, God, no?
Well, you know, this is going to sound crazy, but in some ways I don't even think of myself as a singer, because it's not singing per se I gravitated to that pulled me. It's just that I love this music and I had to do something with it. I can't play guitar well enough to play it on guitar, so I have to send it out there somehow, and singing is the only thing I could come up with.
Now, you play guitar. You sing in a country band also.
Right. I have a country band called Beckaroo. And we, well, you know, the Western swing is a style of music that Bob Wills originated in the 30s and 40s, playing jazz and country music, but with a mixed instrumentation. So that legacy runs deep in the history of swing music. So that group is kind of an offshoot of that, although we progress into the 60s. We do a lot of music from the 60s.
Now, a lot of country singing has that nasal twang in, mm-hmm. in the voice, which you won't hear in jazz, certainly not in your approach to,
right.
to jazz singing. Do you have a different voice for country material?
I may sing just louder, but boy, one thing, I can't yodel. I wish I could. You know, if I could do that, then I'd really consider myself a country singer. But
excuse me, Dave, does she have a different voice when she sings country music?
I think so. I hear a different approach, yeah.
What's different?
Well, I think Becky has an idea of what authentic country singing sounds like, and you aim for that, and you're a different singer when you do that stuff.
Mm.
Are you uncomfortable with me playing that stuff for you, or?
I don't know any songs that we know.
Oh, okay.
I can't think of any. I mean, I never like to sing Patsy Cline songs, because she imprints her identity on a song so much that no one else can sing them, no one else can touch them.
How about Hank Williams?
Now, do you know D-I-V-O-R-C-E, Dave?
I'm afraid not. Okay. Not musically, anyway.
Well, moving right along.
So now I've heard you play a little bit of guitar on one of your recordings.
Mm-hmm.
You play mostly jazz guitar, country guitar,
well,
folk guitar.
I started out playing folk guitar. See, this is a hidden thing about my background I didn't tell you, is that I started out playing like Joan Baez and Judy Collins. So that's
at home.
Before uh-huh. That was before I discovered Ella Fitzgerald and Billie Holiday. I play only rhythm. I don't play any lead. So the guitar that I play in the country band is very easy, three-chord songs, so that's easy. And jazz is a little more difficult. I actually did take a year of jazz guitar lessons in my 20s once, and that's really helped me. It's helped me to learn these songs and to pick the chords off the records. I use my guitar playing mostly these days as a tool to help me learn songs.
When you were back in your Joan Baez era, did you feel like you had the right voice for that material?
No, that's got to be have to be a soprano to do that, I think.
It's interesting. It was in a way such a girl thing, so to speak, to gravitate to those singers, and in my generation, I always feel like it was more the boys who gravitated toward jazz if you knew people who like jazz, and the girls are gravitating. There was something I feel in my gen, which is your generation too, that for a period was very gender oriented in music.
It was. I never thought of that, but you're right. They were that whole school of those high singers strumming away on guitars.
So did you have any company when you when you left folk music and you found
No,
jazz?
I was kind of a loner. And that's why when I finally joined a band, it was like I had found my people. I was so happy. These were my comrades. So I that's why there was no turning back after that happened.
We're featuring a concert with singer Rebecca Kilgore and pianist Dave Frischberg. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back to our concert with singer Rebecca Kilgore and pianist Dave Frischberg. What do you think of the Christmas season musically? You must get a lot of seasonal requests, or people must come to hear you with the expectations you'll do a lot of Christmas songs. Do you?
Well, I actually don't like those religious songs very much. I like the songs like Winter Wonderland and Let It Snow, you know, about the season, the weather. But I don't like a lot of Christmas carols.
Let me see if there's any kind of seasonal song that you really like that you'd like to do for us.
Well, here's one by Frank Lesser, I believe, right? It's called What Are You Doing New Year's Eve? Maybe it's much too early in the game. Oh, but I thought I'd ask you just the same. What are you doing New Year's? New Year's Eve. Wonder whose arms will hold you good and tight when it's exactly 12 o'clock that night. Welcoming in the new year, New Year's Eve. Maybe I'm crazy to suppose
I'd ever be the one you chose. Out of the thousand invitations you receive. Oh, but in case I stand one little chance, here is the jackpot question in advance. What are you doing New Year's? New Year's Eve.
Well, I'm really so glad that we got to do this concert because I've been wanting to hear you sing in person, and since you mostly perform in Portland, this was the way of doing it.
I guess you never get out to the West Coast?
Well, rarely, but okay. It's just been wonderful to hear. I really love your singing, and I'd like you to go out with a song that is a song that, I don't know if you go through this. Do you go through this period of getting, like, infatuated with new songs before you really know them well?
Absolutely. I have many songs that I'm infatuated with, and I move on, but I never forsake the old songs. I keep them close to my heart. But this, I have many songs that I'm just nuts about, and I'd like to do one of them now.
Wonderful. Tell us what it is.
This is called Not a Care in the World. It's one that I heard Peggy Lee, a recording of Peggy Lee singing it with Benny Goodman. I think it was about 1942. It's one of her really early ones, and I just love it.
Though hope is low, I'm aglow when you smile at me. Life is simple as ABC. Not a thought in my head, not a care in the world. Though skies are gray, I'm as gay as a Disney cow. Not a wrinkle upon my brow, not a cent in the red, not a care in the world. I view the scene like the old Queen of Russia, like Kate the Great used to state long ago. Nietzsche vo. So if I move in the groove with a giddy trot, I'm just trotting because I've got not a bean in my pot, not a care in the world. Trotting because I've got not a bean in my pot, not a care in the world, not a care in the world.
Singer Rebecca Kilgore and pianist Dave Frischberg. They both live in Portland, Oregon, where they perform regularly together at the Heathman Hotel. Rebecca Kilgore's CD, I Saw Stars, features Frischberg on piano. It's on the Arbors record label and is available primarily through an 800 number, so I'll give it to you. It's 800-299-1930. Tomorrow, Dave Frischberg will be back to perform a solo concert of his own songs. In fact, why don't we hear him do one of his songs now from his CD, Dave Frischberg Classics. This is My Attorney Bernie.
I'm impressed with my attorney Bernie. I'm impressed with his influential friends. He's got very big connections, and I follow his directions. Bernie knows his way around, and so I always do what Bernie recommends. I am blessed with my attorney, Bernie. I'm impressed with the way he runs the store. He's got Dodger season boxes and an office full of foxes. It's amazing all the different things your average guy might need a lawyer for. Bernie tells me what to do. Bernie lays it on the line. Bernie says we sue, we sue. Bernie says we sign, we sign. I'm in touch with my attorney, Bernie. In a clutch, he can speed right to the scene. And if I'm locked up in the jail with just one phone call for my bail, he said to call his club collect or deal directly with his answering machine. When I dine with my attorney, Bernie, he buys wine from the rare imported rack. That's 'cause Bernie is purist, not your polyester tourist. Bernie waves the glass around a while, then takes a sip and always sends it back. Bernie tells me what to do. Bernie lays it on the line. Bernie says we sue, we sue. Bernie says we sign, we sign. I admire any guy who knows his stuff. Sure, we blew a couple ventures with the counterfeit debentures. But you win a few, you lose a few. Like Bernie says, you keep on hanging tough. Thanks to you, my attorney Bernie. Thanks to you, I'm considered well-to-do. Sure, I made out like a bandit, just exactly like you planned it. But like Murray, my accountant, told me yesterday, I owe it all to you. Bernie tells me what to do. Bernie lays it on the line. Bernie says we sue, we sue. Bernie says we sign, we sign. On the dotted line.
That's Dave Frischberg, and he'll join us at the piano tomorrow. Our concert today with Rebecca Kilgore was produced by Fresh Air senior producer Danny Miller. It was recorded by Joyce Lieberman and edited by Joan Tuohy. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Our show was directed today by Alan Tu. I'm Terry Gross.
Support for Fresh Air comes from the listeners of WHYY in Philadelphia, where Fresh Air is produced. This is NPR, National Public Radio.